Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa lah, amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. How's we doing? Good? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah, we're doing part two of Surah Mursalat. So we cover the first two ayat. Ba'd a'udhu billahi min shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal mursalati urfa, fal asifati asfa. Then Allah says, wal nashirati nashra. And actually, I'll mention the three ayat that we're going to be dealing with, or four. وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرًا فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا عُذْرًا أَوْ نُذْرًا. So what's interesting is if you pay attention, you'll hear that there's a wa in the first, at the beginning. وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفًا فَالْعَاصِفَاتِ عَصْفًا. So the wa means that this is the beginning of an oath. And then the fa means that it's ta'qib, it's following up to it. It's like it's a connected to it. So that means the first two ayat is one oath. And many mufassirin, they say this is about the winds. This seems to be the strongest opinion, that Allah Ta'ala is swearing by two different types of winds, the ones that come with blessing versus the ones that come with, let's say, punishment. The harsh ones, like, you know, storms and so forth. So the first one seems to be about the winds. Then Allah goes back to wa, and then you have fa and fa. So you have one nashirati nashra, starting a new oath. فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى. So those, again, are connected, عُذْرًا أَوْ نُذْرًا. So those four, three, four, five, and six, they all make up their second oath, and this seems to be about the angels. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We're going to talk about this in more detail. However, if we assume that the whole thing is about wind, then the word nashir in this particular ayah, ayah number three, when nashirati nashra, by these winds that blow, and by the spreaders, I guess we would say, nashirat, by the spreaders that spread far and wide. This would be a reference to nashir, that means to scatter, to sprinkle, to bring forth, and to cause to grow. And you could look at all four of them as referring to the winds that scatter the clouds, the winds cause the rain to sprinkle in different areas, thus the wind brings forth vegetation by scattering the pollen and so forth and allowing things to grow. And then, of course, consecutive blowing of the winds and the rainfall causes that very same vegetation that was planted now to grow. So all four definitions work beautifully with regards to winds. So it could refer to that. And the fact of the matter is, Allah Ta'ala does say in Surah Shura, ayah number 28, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَطُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ وَهُوَ الْوَلِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. And it is He who sends down the rain, so this is talking about rain, after people had despaired that there was a drought, and spreads His mercy. وَيَنْشُرُ, same, نَاشِرَات, نَشَرَ, وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ, and He spreads His mercy. So the fact that Allah Ta'ala uses this verb, this root, this trilateral root, نَشَرَ, for the sake of describing His reign, it seems quite appropriate. However, like I said, the stronger opinion seems to be that this is in reference to angels. And the angels, they spread a great spreading of what? It could be their wing. It could be the clouds. It could be that they're the ones driving the clouds. They're the ones, obviously, that are directing the winds. So it could be a reference to that. You combine both ideas. It could be that they spread their wings, and the spreading of their wings is a reference to blessings coming. Or spreading of the wings implies what? This is their travel between the earth and the heavens. The angels could also spread what? The distribution of the revelation. This great distribution, وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى, by these angels that are spreading this revelation. This is a reference to the revelation being sent to us. By the angels that resurrect, because nashr can also mean to bring back to life. So after we die, it could be that Allah Ta'ala, وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى, Allah is swearing by these angels that will bring us back a great resurrection, a great, back to life again in this great way, وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى. And it could be that these angels, they spread what? The scrolls, the great exposition, وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى, they're going to spread out these scrolls as a great exposition on Judgment Day when the deeds will be on display. We can't forget that it's the angels that are going to be writing down our deeds, and then they're going to display everything and spread all those scrolls out on Judgment Day for everybody to see. So subhanAllah, you can see how so many different meanings can be implied here, and this is why when Allah Ta'ala says something, you have to appreciate the fact that there's layers of meaning here, and it could be that with one statement, Allah Ta'ala is hitting you with so many different meanings. That's why it's so powerful. There are other ayat that are related to this, but let's just go right into the next one, because today I don't want to go too long. Allah Ta'ala then says what? فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى. So again, this could refer to both the winds and the angels, and you could see how it can, there's even a correlation between the two, because then the angels separate, after spreading, they separate the rain from the clouds when the cloud is too heavy and laden with water, a great division, as in once ناشرات نشرة, the winds spread these clouds everywhere, and then they become laden with lots of water, and then فالفارقات فرقا, they make it drip, and so it's the angels that are driving this force that are causing this to happen, and then you find that Allah Ta'ala is separating the clouds from the rain, and obviously it's raining upon us, so this could be a reference to that the angels are causing this the wind to push and the rain to come down. Then the angels, another meaning is that the angels separate when فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى, that the angels separate. What is that implication? A great division, as in by sending rain to different areas. It could be that they're the ones driving the clouds, and they're the ones that are separating people. Why? By sending rain from one area versus another, they're providing different people with vegetation and other people with drought and withholding. So it's as if Allah Ta'ala is swearing by the angels that separate between those who are going to get blessings versus those who are not going to get blessings, right? Allah Ta'ala is saying they are the ones that spread these winds, disperse these clouds, and by my angels, I swear by my angels that are going to give blessings where I decree them to. So it could be that Allah Ta'ala is referring to this. However, another interpretation is that this is in reference to the angels sending revelation, which is what? Saying what? Then, فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى, then the angels separate truth from falsehood, a great dividing through revelation. That's the implication. That when Allah Ta'ala sends his wahi, his revelation through the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, this is what separates people. This is what separates truth from falsehood. Another interpretation is that the angels are the ones who separate truth from falsehood, a great dividing by recording our book of deeds. Obviously, if every time you do an action, you feel like it's just me, I'm just doing whatever I do. It's all, you know, it's all just, I'm the author, so it's all coming from one source. But it's the angels that are saying, this goes in the book of good deeds, this goes on in the book of bad deeds. This goes on the left side, this goes on the right side. So it's the angels that are separating. فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى. It could be that Allah Ta'ala is swearing by these angels that are recording everything. And then of course, it could be again, the angels separating the good from the evil, the great dividing on judgment day. فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى. Allah Ta'ala is swearing by these angels that are going to separate people into groups. And Allah Ta'ala has different ayat that describe how people will be separated into various groups on judgment day for their correct accounting. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى. أَلْقَى means to throw something or to deliver something. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ, by those deliverers. Dhikra, who are delivering what? The reminder or the remembrance. So again, we can go back to the interpretation that this is in reference to the winds, right? So if this was the case, then we take a look at all five of these ayat. By the winds, wal mursalati urfa, by the winds that come successively, blowing nicely, gently. Fal'asifati asfa, by the winds that are storming. Wal nashirati nashra, they spread out the clouds and make them thin. Fal'fariqati farqa, then they divide and separate up the clouds, different areas they go. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى, the winds cause people to remember Allah by either bringing clouds so they're grateful to Allah, or by pushing clouds away, causing a drought so people call out to Allah for relief. Because you might ask, if this is in reference to winds pushing the clouds, فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى, they're the deliverers of a message. You know, wind doesn't deliver a message, right? Well, that's not necessarily the case. It could be that the dhikr is the remembrance of Allah. And when the winds come and start pouring down on a people, they say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And they praise Allah and they're grateful. And other places they get a drought, so people keep on praying and asking for rain. And so it could be a reference to that. That yes, Allah is swearing by the winds that cause you to call out to Allah, either in gratitude or in desperation. So that's one possibility. Also, we have to remember that rain reminds us when the winds blow and when the rain comes, the rains remind us that Allah can resurrect us the same way He brings back the dead land to becoming living again, right? We know that the land can be barren, all the grass goes yellow and dead, etc., and dry, and then subhanAllah, the rain comes and you see this revival. And this is really reminiscent, this is really indicated by what? The seventh verse, which is coming up in just a moment. إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَوَاقِعُ, ayah number 7. Indeed, what you are promised is going to come. This resurrection is indeed going to happen. There's no doubt that you will be resurrected. So Allah Ta'ala is swearing by these winds that push these clouds and that are giving you this reminder. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى. These winds are providing you the reminder that when something is dead, it can come back to life. Every time you see these winds being pushed and you're like, oh great, finally the winds are coming, so the rain's going to come down. This dead crop is finally going to bring life again. So you do understand resurrection. You do understand that from dead can come life. So this is the reminder. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى. These winds are providing, they're delivering the reminder to you. A reminder of what? إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ الْوَاقِعِ. What you are promised is going to happen. Just the same way you see this resurrection taking place in front of you, you're going to be resurrected as well. So this could be the argument, and Allah knows best. And also, that Allah can bless with crops whom He wills, so be grateful. Allah can punish with drought whoever He wills, so be wary and be steadfast and always try your best to comply with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that his power is also unseen. Just like the wind. The wind is not something that you can see. You see the effects of it, but you don't see the sea. You don't see the wind itself. And yet, at the same time, it cannot be underestimated because the effects of both can be witnessed all around us. You can see the effects of wind. It can cause life or death. And you can see the effects of Allah Ta'ala. He is the one who controls everything. So just because something is unseen doesn't mean you can't see the effects of those things. So again, this is mulqiyati dhikra. It's giving you a great reminder of this fact. Yes, for the disbelievers who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves and the punishment comes in the clouds, then that could be a reference to the mulqiyati dhikra. So the Messenger comes and gives you good advice, good guidance, everything always beneficial. People reject. Then finally, when the Messenger leaves, this specifically happened with the people of Hud alayhi wa sallam, the people of Ad. That they rejected, and then they saw in the clouds coming this reminder. Remember what he told you? What he said was going to come? There it is. So it could be that's a reference to something like this. However, if we switch gears and say, no, we're going to take a look at it from the perspective of angels, right? As we said earlier. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى By the deliverers of reminder, this is the angels that deliver the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is obviously referring to al-wahi. Allah Ta'ala says, رَفِيعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ ذُو الْعَرْشِ يُلْقِ الرُّوحَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ لِيُنْذِرَ يَوْمَ الْتَلَاقِ That it is He, or Allah is the one who, He is exalted above all degrees, رَفِيعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ, exalted above all degrees, ذُو الْعَرْشِ, the owner of the throne, يُلْقِ الرُّوحِ, that He places the inspiration. So the fact that Allah is using the same root verb of أَلْقَى يُلْقِي, so فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ, right? It's the same root, أَلْقَى يُلْقِي. And here you have يُلْقِ الرُّوحِ, that He places or He delivers the inspiration of His command upon whom He wills, of His servants to warn of the day of meeting. So you see the same root being used, so it seems like good reason to believe that this is being used for the angels that come with the inspiration or the revelation. Now, the big question that I think is quite interesting is, why are these ayat correlating between this rih, which is wind, and ruh Jibril, which is the angel that delivers this message? What's the even the words themselves, ruh and rih, right? Coming from the same, you could say, general concept here. Even the sound, ra and yaha versus ra, wow ha. So ruh and rih, what's the correlation? Well, the correlation that seems quite interesting is twofold. Number one, Rain is a means to rectify one's dunya, right? When the rain comes, it rectifies your dunya, it gives you wealth. And revelation is a means to rectify one's deen. When revelation comes, it improves your heart and it makes you a better person. So what do you want to work on? And it seems that Allah Ta'ala is saying, I send you both. I send you the winds to bring the rain, to give you the crops, that's your dunya. I send the angels with the revelation, with the inspiration, that's your heart, that's your deen. There's your physical, there's your spiritual. Both of them are balanced. You have to realize that you're made of a physical body and also a soul, and both need to be fed. So the winds come to rain down, to feed your body, and then the angels come, send revelation to feed the soul. So subhanAllah, this beautiful combination is quite perfect. The fact that Allah Ta'ala is using terms that can apply to both is really quite powerful. Therefore, when rain comes or revelation comes, people should receive it as a reminder of Allah's blessings. Hence, either way, the angels are thereby delivering a powerful reminder. Hence, فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى. Either way, it's a powerful reminder. And also another correlation between angels and wind, or الروح and الريح, is what? The winds bring life by pushing air, thus delivering clouds, which provides for physical bodies, as I mentioned earlier, for all living creatures. And the angels bring life to the hearts by delivering revelation, which the believers convey through their speech. They also blow it out with air. I think that's a very beautiful correlation. We should never forget, one of the most powerful things that we have is not necessarily, our fists or the weapons that we have or whatever it may be. We think our money is so powerful. One of the most powerful things that you have is the ability to convince people, the ability to speak, the ability to change hearts and minds. This is the job of the Anbiya. What did they do? They showed up on earth and they spoke to people. Of course, they also had a good example. They lived what they preached, but they had to convey the message. Ar-Rasul, what does that mean? You are a messenger. You're delivering a message. How do you do so? Through your actions, yes, but also through your words. You have to speak it. And the fact that that's being blown out, the fact that the winds blow, you see there's a very beautiful beautiful correlation between the two. Final ayah that we're going to cover today, inshallah, but there's a lot here to unpack. Udhran aw nudhra. Udhran aw nudhra. As a justification or as a warning. So this is quite interesting. Now, what could this imply? Well, as we said, ayat 1 and 2 is sending the winds and sending the rain. Ayah number 3 is after rain falls, Allah brings out the vegetation, nashirat nashra, falfariqati farqa. Another interpretation is that the vegetation is diversified. Falfariqati farqa could be referred to what? That the vegetation is so diverse that it has all these different kinds. Falmulqiyati dhikra, this whole process is a reminder to you. The fact that he sends the winds, the rainfall comes down, you see the vegetation is so diverse. All of this is a mulqiyati dhikra, it's all a reminder for what? For either you to be someone who will accept it, and therefore you will be justified before God, or you are going to reject it, but now you got your warning. Udhran aw nudhra. So it's for the believers or the disbelievers. It's going to separate you two. That's one way of looking at it. Once the revelation or the reminder has been sent, there are two possibilities. You become a believer, you avoid sins. Now you have a justification. You have an udhr. You have a defense on judgment day. Hence, udhran. Or you reject it. You reject the reminder. You become a disbeliever. You indulge in sin and now you have been warned. Nudhra. And that Allah Ta'ala, His punishment is coming. Hence, this term udhra. Nudhra. These two terms could be two, yani masdaran. They could be the masdar. Just like shukr. Kufr, these are masadir, right? Same thing with udhr, nudhr. It's on the same fu'l pattern. There, or it also, another possibility is that it could be the plural of adhir. Adhir, udhran. Nadhir, nudhra. So these are possibilities as well. It could be the plural. So it could be that these angels are either giving justification or they're giving warning. So it's really quite fascinating that it could apply to the one who's being, who's receiving, or the one who's delivering. It could apply to both. And again, this is the complexity, and what's hard to try to summarize all this very quickly, I'm trying my best to not put people to sleep here, but subhanAllah, there's just, especially usually in these opening oaths, there's so much to unpack because there's so many possibilities, and so I'm trying my best to unpack all this. So yeah, there's, from a linguistic perspective, it's quite fascinating. Also, aadhir and nadhir could be the singular, and udhran and, or udhr and nudhr could be the plural, then Allah knows best. So it could be talking about the angels who are excusers, as in to those who accept revelation, and are forgiven for their past sins. Now you're going to be excused. Why? Because now you've accepted the truth, all your past sins are forgiven. Every time we do a shahada here in the masjid, in fact, right in this same very spot, what happens? We say, all your sins have been wiped away. You have an udhr, you have an excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the angels delivered the truth, you took it, and now each angel is adhir or aadhir. Udhran, nudhra. So this is very interesting. Or warners, nudhra, that they are all warners. You've all been warned. To those who reject the revelation, you're warned, and so now it's fair game. Now there's another question. Udhran, nudhran. They're both mansub. Why is that the case? Several different perspectives for those of you that appreciate the Arabic nuance. For those of you that don't, please, you have to learn some Arabic, inshallah ta'ala. But anyway, it could be maf'ul li ajlihi, as in it's explaining the cause of revelation. So, the meaning could be, the revelation is sent, mulqiyati dhikra, that the reminder has been delivered to either udhran, relieve hardship for those who accept it, or nudhran, warn of punishment for those who reject it. I mentioned that one. But it could also be had, so there's a second possibility. So instead of maf'uli ajhi, what's usually translated as that, it could also be had. What does that mean? That the mulqiyat, the ones who are delivering the message, as in these angels, are in a state of either removing difficulty, because they are doing udhr. And udhr can also mean raf'ul haraj, removing of difficulty. So that's what they're doing. They're in the hal, they're in the state of removing people's hardship, raf'ul haraj, or they are warning. And they are warning, yani nudhran. And if this hal is the case, then the words that are implied, or al-damir al-mustatir, what is implied is yani aadhirin aw nadhirin. Or it could be mu'adhirin wa aw mundhirin. So you understand the difference? It could be that. It could be talking about the hal, the state that they are in. It could be understood that way. A third possibility is that it's badal. Badal means replacement. So mulqiyati dhikran udhran aw nudhran. So Allah Ta'ala is replacing the word dhikran. Let me explain. It's as if Allah is saying what? The angels are delivering this dhikran, this reminder. What is the dhikran? Well, it's two things. It's two possible things. Either it's a udhran, giving a justification, or nudhran, giving a warning. So Allah Ta'ala is breaking down what this thing is through badal, through replacement. And the aw here, this does not imply uncertainty. It's either this or it's this, we're unsure. No, Allah Ta'ala is highlighting the two possible ways of it being received. The fact of the matter is, this is how revelation is received. There's no doubt about it. This isn't this or this, like some sort of uncertainty. No, it's quite the opposite. Allah is saying, dhikr is received two ways. Believers take it and use it to improve themselves. Now they have justification before Allah. The disbeliever rejects it, well, now you're warned. It could also be understood, this whole thing could be understood, what? As Allah's justification and warning. What do I mean by this? It's possible that both words apply to Allah Ta'ala, meaning that the revelation is sent from Allah through the angels as a justification, udhran. Otherwise, the sincere believers could ask, why were we created and never taught how to worship you? Right? And so Allah Ta'ala has to send revelation, udhran. Now Allah Ta'ala has, you could say, justification, an excuse. Because it would be unwise. Allah is al-Hakim. Allah is the most wise. He doesn't do things that are unwise. Allah Ta'ala wouldn't create human beings with this desire to know Him, with this obligation to worship Him, with no reminder, with no revelation, with no guidance as to how to do so. So udhran, it could be a justification from Allah Ta'ala. Or nudhran, as a warning. Otherwise, the insincere could show up on Judgment Day on their way to hell, and they could say, why wasn't a warning given to us? We're being sent to hell, but we were never given a shot. No. Udhran, oh nudhran. Here's your nudhr was given. Now when you go to the fire, you know exactly why. You were warned, you didn't care. You guys see the difference? So this is a udhran and a nudhr on behalf of Allah Ta'ala. So very interesting. And this is the use of this type of word. You see an example of this in Surah A'raf, ayah number 164, where Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَا تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أو معذبهم عذابا شديدا قالوا معذرة إلى ربكم ولعلهم يتقون. And when a community among them said, why do you advise or warn a people who Allah is about to destroy or to punish with a severe punishment? Why are you giving these people da'wah? These people are so terrible. They're the worst of the worst. Why are you giving these people da'wah? What is their response? قالوا معذرة إلى ربكم. The advisors, they said, to be absolved before your Lord. So we have justification. So we have an excuse. As in, I did my part. Now my hands are free. You want to take it? Good. You don't want to take it? I'm done. مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. And perhaps, maybe, these horrible, horrible people, maybe some of them will actually turn back. Another perspective on all this, subhanAllah, again, there's just so many layers. And that's what's frustrating. When you go through different tafsir, like subhanAllah, it can be taken in so many ways. I'm trying to do a decent job and not bore you guys. But another perspective is that when nashirati nashra, when the guidance is spread, right? The angels come and they spread guidance. And I'm talking about specifically guidance as to how to live in this dunya. This is how you pray, this is how you fast, this is guidance how you live. فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى. Now people either apply it or don't apply it. So the angels are now dividing between them, writing down their deeds and seeing who does what, right? فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى. Then Allah sends a reminder. Wait a second, what are you talking about? Allah already sent the reminder. The guidance was already sent. So what is this reminder referring to? This is not referring to guidance how to live in this dunya. Rather, another perspective which I thought was quite fascinating is that this is not guidance. This mulqiyati dhikra is a reminder of where you're going. So to those who followed the guidance and applied it, you get this reminder of what? That you as believers, you're going to paradise. You are going to have this udhr. And remember, udhran can mean what? Raf' al-haraj. You're going to go to paradise where all of your difficulties will be removed from you. Raf' al-haraj. No more difficulty for you when you go to paradise. Or you're going to be excused for any mistake that you made. يعني هم معذورون من العذاب. You are excused from the punishment. So this is the mulqiyati dhikra. After you've already nashirati nashra, had the guidance of how to live given, فالفارقات فرقا, people have either accepted or rejected, then there's another reminder of what? This is where you get to go. For the believers, you get to go to paradise and avoid hellfire. That is the mulqiyati dhikra of what's to come. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I thought that was a nice different, because you know, when you think of revelation, you think of all of it, right? Everything Allah says, how to live and where you're gonna go. But it could be that Allah ta'ala is differentiating. First is how to live. Those who apply it, good. Those and when you apply it, then this is where you're going to go, the mulqiyati dhikra. So that parsing of the two, I think, is quite beautiful. And therefore, for the disbelievers, is that they will have hell waiting, and so this is a reminder for them, nudhra, of course. Of course, you can ask, what's the point of all these angels? If Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, if you take a look at all of these ayat and say all of it applies to angels, which some scholars do, Allah sends positive forces, mursalati urfa, positive angels that come with good, wala asifati asfa, negative forces, these angels that come and deliver punishment and harshness. When nashirati nashra, they spread, these angels are spread far and wide. You see, angels are filling the heavens, worshiping Allah in every corner. فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقَى. And they are dividing people by their deeds, recording on both sides. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرَى. They're delivering the guidance, this idea. عُذْرًا أَوْ نُذْرًا. That's either accepted or rejected. What's the point of oscillating between good and bad? What's the point of us going through this life of having good times and bad times? Everything is fleeting like the wind. You know, that's another question. Why is it related to the wind? Because life is fleeting. You go through good times, they go away. You go through bad times, they go away. It's always fleeting, like the wind. So this correlation is quite powerful. What's the point of being surrounded by angels that are worshiping Allah all the time? What's the point of having our every action recorded? What's the point of sending guidance? All of this is to result in what? إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَوَاقِعٌ. What you are promised is for sure going to happen. That's why we have the example of the angels that are worshiping around us. That's why we go through good times and bad times to push us to be grateful or to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the whole point of all of it. It's to, inshallah ta'ala, remind us and turn us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because ultimately we're trying to prepare for Judgment Day. So with that, inshallah ta'ala, we close. I hope I said something of benefit. I've been nervous about these ayats because I've been trying to go through and trying to do it justice. I feel like it's very difficult. In this particular set of six ayat, I feel like you could just keep trying and keep trying, and I still don't feel like you've done it perfect justice, that you have to really break it down. And it's quite difficult because there's a lot to unpack, and Allah knows best. So inshallah, we tried our best. I hope inshallah ta'ala we've benefited, and inshallah we'll continue next week. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.